This is Phil Farron, and I am driving home. It's Thursday today. It is episode 280. 280. And I am hopefully going to be enjoying the air-conditioned car. Hopefully. Because it's a little warmer today. We're finally into summer. Although we did have we've been a little dry around here, but we did have a nice rain today. So I'm hoping that whatever was causing things to be dried has kind of worked itself through, and hopefully we'll start getting some nice rain coming and going while the grain is all trying to grow. It's amazing because it's still only 89 degrees. But it certainly feels warmer than that because we've had such nice weather. It's been in the 70s, and when it goes from the mid-70s to 89 degrees, it really feels like a big jump. But we still have to go quite a ways to get to our normal summer, which is 95, 97. So it's going to be interesting to see how this summer kind of all works out. One way or another, we are in August, and August is usually the hottest month, so things usually settle down once we start getting into September. It's been a good week. Did the presentation at the end of last week for the design phase of the project I'm currently working on. We got permissions to move forward into the development phase a little earlier than I thought we were going to. We got it in that meeting. I expected it would take at least this week, if not into next week, to get that done. And so I had actually kind of planned that direction, because this week I didn't expect anyone was going to be making decisions this week. Because this week is the 100-year founding anniversary of the organization that I work with. And so, it's the centennial. So I absolutely did not expect that anyone was going to be making any decisions. As it turned out, the decision got made at the end of last week. So, ta-da! One moment. Need to get a drink of water. I just spent the last approximately hour and a half talking, so my voice is a little sore. But we did get the approval last week, so this week then I took all the design stuff and converted it into a development task list, got reorganized there, got hours assigned to things, and did a chart so that it would be easier to see how stuff was related, and worked my way all through that, and had some discussions as to exactly how we were going to move forward in terms of what approach we were going to take to the development. Got out a lot of good stuff taken care of, and then this afternoon had a meeting with the programmers, and we talked our way through it, and so far so good. Everything seems to be going okay, so I'm actually going to be starting some new design work next week while some things settle in for the development. And then, we'll see whether I actually do any of the development or if I just hammer through and do some more design. There is certainly plenty to do. So that's good. It's always good to have plenty of work. Had a fun week running down to Stillwater over the weekend. I think I mentioned that last week. We actually ran down to Stillwater, Oklahoma, which is about 4 hours away. Ran down to Stillwater, and Lynette got a chance to see her new nephew. And so she liked that a lot. We just went down on Friday during the day and then hammered back home on Saturday. I was able last week to get my 5,000 words in. Put in a full day of writing on Saturday after I got back home and was able to get, what I needed. This week, I don't think I'm going to make it. This will be the first week that I actually miss. Is that true? I think that's true. Missed the deadline this week on my writing because we've had the grandkids. Because our kids have been away on a missions trip with their youth group. And so we've had the grandkids. So after I get home and after I exercise, I've been going up to help out a little bit. Not a whole lot, but a little bit. Spend a little time with the grandkids. So that's thrown my schedule. And then there's been stuff. We actually have guests in now. I called my wife just before I left. And she said, yeah, they're here. And so her cousin and her husband are in for the centennial celebration. And so we're going to have them with us for the next couple of days. And so, of course, there is the need of socialization. And we're probably going to lose some time there. And then tomorrow is a big day. And then Saturday, we're having everybody out to the house for noon meal before the relatives actually take off. So that's going to cut into Saturday. And it'd have to be like a miracle if I could make my 5,000 words, or I'm going to have to stay up, you know, like Friday night after everybody goes to bed, I'm going to have to sneak downstairs and write until I can get caught up, but we'll see. We'll see how it all works out. It'll be fine. No matter what, it'll be fine. I was having breakfast with a buddy today, and we were talking about writing, and I told him, I said, it's in my blood enough now that if I go, you know, a couple of days without writing, I'm like, I want to get back to writing. Because it's 7 days a week for me, usually. It's rare that a day goes by where I don't do some measure of writing. Because I enjoy it. I enjoy it a lot. The good news is, it's so far, pretty much everyone who has gotten back with me seems to have enjoyed the book. There are, you know, some people who are unhappy with certain sections of it, but, you know, that's okay. That's going to happen. And, you know, I know why those sections are in there, so, we'll see. We'll see. But I think we're off to a good start on Windfall, and we'll see where things go from here. What else? I think that's about it for the week. I've had some nice conversations with friends this week. Very different conversations. I was telling one of my friends this week about the Dodo case, a cardboard VR helmet that was inspired by the Google Cardboard Project. There's a company called Dodo Case that have taken that project and downloaded all the specs, and they're actually manufacturing it and selling it because Google just threw it open and said, there you go. If you want to build one, go ahead. And what's amazing to me is that I considered just downloading the plans and cutting the thing out by hand. But once I got to looking at it, I thought, that is going to take me hours to cut that out with an X-Acto knife, and then it won't be very good. And what it is a big sheet of cardboard that you cut out in this certain way, and then you fold it all together, and it makes this little VR viewer that you stick a cell phone into, and you can have a virtual reality helmet that you hold it up to your face. And so it's very cute. It's very, very cute. So I was looking around a couple of weeks afterwards, and I was thinking, man, there's got to be somebody who's selling these. And sure enough, I found this place called Dodo Case, and they were selling them, so I went ahead and ordered one. Shortly after that, I got a video back from them, and they were showing the different ways they could manufacture these things. And so they were showing cutting it out by hand takes about an hour. Or if you used a laser cutter, you could get about 10 done in an hour. Or if you used a die cut press, you know, you could get, it was something like 10,000 an hour. Or if you used a rotary die cut press, where it's on a big drum and they're just shooting pieces of cardboard in that thing as fast as you can imagine them going in there, just, you know. They can do 30,000 an hour with that rotary die cutter. 30,000 an hour. Well, you know, there's got to be a fairly expensive setup for that. 30,000 an hour. Basically, they're doing less than, but not much less than, 10 a second. I mean, it's going fast, man. And they showed a picture of it. And they showed a picture of them knocking out the Google cardboard products that they were selling. What was fascinating to me was about that is they must have sold hundreds of thousands of these things. They must have just sold, because if you're going to go to the expense of getting a machine that can output 30,000 an hour, you're not really just going to run that machine for 2 hours. You know, you're probably going to run that machine for days. So there must have been a whole lot of other people that were doing the same thing I was doing and thinking, man, if I could just find somebody. Because when I checked it out as to how much it would cost me to put it together, I spec'd it out and the raw materials were going to be like $40. And it was going to be my time as well, trying to put it together. And these guys were selling just the basic Google cardboard for $20 or $25, and then the NFC card that goes along with it for another $5. And it was like, oh man, let's do this thing. Just give them money. And so supposedly my order is going to get filled soon here. That was back in June, but they must have just got pummeled. So, you know, good for them. Good for them. I'm sure they've got some people who are unhappy, but, you know, people like me, I'm just like, well, thanks for doing that, because I didn't want to do it by hand. Anyway, so I'm hoping to get that in here in a couple of days. A couple of weeks. A couple of days. We'll see. Anyways, today, I am going to talk about something that I have never talked about before. I'm going to talk about... I need another drink. One moment. I'm going to talk about a TED Talk that made me unhappy. Which, that's a pretty unusual thing. This TED Talk made me unhappy. I thought it was cool at first. And then I looked at it again and went, wait a minute. And I think I know what the guy was going for, but it really kind of bothered me the more I thought about it. So anyways, the name of the TED Talk was Two Nerdy Obsessions Meet, and It's Magic. And it's by a guy named David Kwong. So this is a guy, obviously a very intelligent guy. He's a magician. But he also happens to be a New York Times crossword puzzle constructor. He said, which basically means I've taken the world's two nerdiest hobbies and combined them into one career. And he went on to talk about that both of these things, magic and crossword puzzles, are basically the two sides of the same coin, because they illustrate one of the most important drives of humanity, and that is the urge to solve. That humans have an innate urge to solve, to make order out of chaos. He said, you know, whenever he creates an illusion, he said what he's really doing is testing the audience's ability to solve. And so that's what he said he was going to be demonstrating there. It was interesting. He mentioned an interesting piece of research. He said that in one UCLA study, newborns still in the hospital were shown patterns. Patterns like this, circle, cross, circle, cross. And then the pattern changed, triangle, square. He said, by tracking the infant's gaze, the researchers know that newborns as young as a day old can notice and respond to disruptions in order. That's pretty interesting. That's pretty interesting. And from that, he concluded that from infancy to old age, the urge to solve unites us all. And then he actually put up a picture of Katy Perry, and with her morning coffee, she was actually working on a crossword puzzle. And of course, we assume it's the New York Times crossword puzzle because that's the crossword puzzles that he did. Okay, so anyways, so he talked a little bit more, and then he did a trick. And the trick that he did was he found a audience participant, and we will assume that they never actually planned anything out because he didn't really need to plan anything out with her. So he brings the participant up on the stage. There is an art easel set up. He puts an envelope, there's two art easels set up. He puts an envelope on the art easel and he says, okay, I'm not going to touch that. It's going to be here the whole time. And he said, what we're going to do is I'm going to turn my back to you, and before you on the other art easel, there's six animals. And there is a cup of colored magic markers. And so he turned around, he put his hand over his eyes, and he said, okay, pick a magic marker. So she picks one, and he says, okay, well, color in the horse. So she colors in the horse, and he's got his hand over his eyes. Said, fine, now just pick another one. Okay, now color the rooster. Now color this. Now color that. She goes through five. He says, okay, pick another one. And she pauses. And he turns around. He says, oh, did I not? Oh, he said, I left the purple one out. Okay, well, this will still work. It'll still work. So he had six animals, five different colors. She colors the animals. So then, of course, he says, now we'll take out the envelope. So she takes out the envelope and he says, I'm going to hand you this envelope. Says, don't open it yet. He said, I'm going to write down your choices so that everybody can see what they are. So he writes down and he says, okay, so we have a cobalt horse, an amber owl, a silver ox, a red donkey, and an emerald rooster. It's an emerald rooster. Okay, he's got that name. So then she opens the envelope, and sure enough, shock of shock, the animals are all colored the right color on this. Now then, so then, you know, he says, could there be order in this chaos that I created of just having you randomly color these things? Okay, he says, well, then he goes back into his presentation and he says, he shows how in one of his slides there was a cobalt horse, and in another one there was an emerald rooster, and in another one there was a silver ox, and when Katy Perry was drinking her morning coffee there was an amber owl. Okay, and he said, but there was one more, a red donkey. And he said, Gwen, ladies and gentlemen, you know, raise your hands if you've ever read Don Quixote. So who's read Don Quixote? Red donkey. Okay, so everybody laughs. But wait, you know, so it's even better, he says. So take out your New York Times from today. He said, you'll find them under your chairs. So they take out the New York Times from today. It is dated that date, March 18th, 2014. Turn to the crossword puzzle. And he said, if you read the clues down, after you get all the clues in, you'll get cobalt horse, amber owl, silver ox, red donkey, and emerald rooster. Okay, so, you know. So. And he said, if you keep reading, starting with 25 down, it says, oh, by the way, the sheep can be left blank. You know, okay, so obviously he had this all up. And he said, in fact, if you look at your choices that you made, you know, which were the animals and the colors. So, which were, hang on, I'm looking for the page. Cobalt horse, CH, amber owl, OS, silver, S, ox, O, red donkey, RD, and emerald rooster, ER. In fact, it spells chaos order. So, okay. So, okay, fine. And the quasi-explanation that he gave was, well, it's because I dropped these clues. Now, he didn't say this, but the implication was, because he dropped these hints, she then colored the animals this thing. And I was with him up until that point, because I've seen a Darren Rogers do subliminal stuff before, and you know, seems to be something to that. So, okay, I'm with him. And then I finished watching the episode, the TED Talk, and I'm assuming this is what he was actually going for. I thought, wait a minute, that, you know, the chance of him actually being able to get her to choose all those things, not five in a row. You know, maybe he could influence one or two, but not five in a row. And in fact, then, I went back and watched it, and she did not pick what animal she actually colored. She picked up a marker, and he said, now color this. Okay. In other words, she didn't have any control over what animals were being colored what, and it did not go in an order such that, because she didn't know what she was going to color when she picked up the marker. At least I don't think she did. So in that case, she was either a plant, and it was the standard old, no, we've never done anything before, when in fact they did. Or he just had somebody back in the back that was watching her pick up the markers. And then once he saw what color it was, he told her what animal to pick. Backing into my garage. Now then. Okay. So, but that's what magicians do, right? You know, they try to trick us and then we try to figure things out. I guess the more I thought about it, though, the more this kind of bugged me. It just bugged me. Because I don't go to tech. I don't go to watch TED Talks to have people do magic tricks that basically are simple to figure out. I go to TED because I want to hear about the latest innovations and the latest discoveries and that kind of stuff. And, you know, the more I thought about it, the more I just got unhappy. but, you know, at the end of the day, it's not really up to me to decide what TED Talks are going to be what. So, you know, you just go, well, okay, that wasn't exactly my most favorite TED Talk. But that's okay. There's a whole bunch more that are really, really good. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.